scripture reading today will come from the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 2, but I'm going to begin reading in the last verse of chapter 1. So Ruth chapter 1, verse 22, and I'll be reading through chapter 2, verse 23. You can find the scripture reading on the back of your outlines this morning that's in your bulletins. I'll begin reading Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant, who was in charge of the reapers, answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and she said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. That's the reading of God's word today from Ruth chapter 1, verse 22 through chapter 2, 23. I invite you to follow along today as you listen on the sermon outline and the text included on the back. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, as we begin Ruth chapter 2 this morning, we begin with a chiastic structure of our text that I put at the top of your outlines. As you can see, the entire chapter is made up of one big chiastic structure, where by way of repetition, it builds up on one side, it reaches a peak, and then the repetition on the other side brings it down the other side. It shows then how the main point of Ruth chapter 1 is when Ruth meets and dialogues with her kinsman redeemer, Boaz. As you can see on that structural outline, Ruth chapter 2 is bracketed by the harvest in Bethlehem. At the end of chapter 1, verse 22, God inspired the author to tell us that Naomi and Ruth arrive at Bethlehem from the country at Moab at the time of the beginning of the barley harvest. At the end of chapter 2, verse 23, we now see that it's 7 weeks later, and that's at the end of the wheat and barley harvest at Bethlehem. And that means that all these events that take place in Ruth chapter 2 are taking place between the time of the beginning and the end of God's provision of the harvest at Bethlehem. Bethlehem in chapter 1 was in a state of famine. Naomi and her two sons and her husband had to leave Bethlehem. They come back to Bethlehem, and it is harvest time. And chapter 2 ends with the full harvest filling Bethlehem. And during that time period of the harvest in Bethlehem, you can see that a new character enters into the scene in the book of Ruth. Thus far in Ruth chapter 1, because of the famine, Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons went off to live in the land of Moab, and they found Moabite wives, Ruth and Orpah. And when Elimelech and both of his sons die in the land of Moab at the end of chapter 1, it's only the two widows, Naomi and Ruth, who arrive at Bethlehem as Orpah has gone back to Moab. And so they arrive when the famine is over at the beginning of the harvest. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, we are introduced to Boaz. You see his name as part of the bracketing in verse 1, and again, his name appears in verse 23. All throughout chapter 2, we read about Boaz, this new character who's introduced in chapter 2. In the next part of the structure, you can see how Ruth and Naomi then have a dialogue followed by a dialogue with Boaz and his servants. And then at the end of the structure, in reverse order, Boaz speaks to his servants first, followed again by a dialogue between Ruth and Naomi. And then sandwiched in the middle, the heart of the chapter, the most important part of the chapter, is this extensive dialogue, the most extensive in the whole chapter, between Boaz and Ruth. Boaz said, verse 8, Ruth said, verse 10. Boaz said, verse 11, Ruth said, verse 13. Boaz said, verse 14, and then the fellowship meal. Do you see how the structure of this text is shaped to the center, where the center, the focus, the point of it all is the dialogue between Boaz and Ruth and what they say? And why is this center dialogue between Boaz and Ruth so important? Because the center dialogue is about a reversal that takes place. A reversal that takes place in Ruth's life from being dead and lost to be given life by way of her kinsman redeemer that God sent to her at Bethlehem. And the center dialogue is about what God, the inspired, the author, to say. What he wants us to teach and to show us today about how God used all of this in his greater redemption salvation plan. How God not only interceded in Ruth's life, but more importantly, how what God did in Ruth chapter 2 foreshadows a greater than Boaz kinsman redeemer to come that will be born at Bethlehem and reverse the lives of all his people from eternal death to eternal life. Let's take a closer look at our text this morning, beginning with the setting in chapter 2, verse 1. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. In this verse, we're introduced now for the first time to Boaz. The widow Naomi had a relative, that is sometimes translated a kinsman, a relative, a kinsman of her husband. We are told that he was a worthy man, which means he was of some wealth and status within the city or the town of Bethlehem. He was of the clan of Elimelech, it tells us, Naomi's husband, his clan. And his name was Boaz, which means strength. And then in the first dialogue, Ruth takes the initiative. We're told in verse 2, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." What is Ruth doing? Now that they are in Bethlehem, Ruth isn't going to just sit around and wait for somebody to help them. Ruth has learned from Naomi what God had said in his law, especially in Leviticus 23, verse 22. I put that verse on the front of your outlines this morning under point A. Leviticus 23, beginning at verse 22. "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God." And so, in verse 2, Ruth the Moabite is saying to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." You see, Ruth knows that as a Moabite, as a foreigner in the land of Israel, that the gleanings that fall are at the mercy of the one, the owner of the field, the one in whose sight she would find favor. She doesn't know who this man is. She doesn't know if somebody will find favor with her. She doesn't even know what field she is going to. She just goes in faith. And Naomi responds, "Go, my daughter," reflecting again that even though she is a daughter-in-law from Moab, Naomi considers her a daughter and a daughter of Israel. Verse 3, "So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech." Do you see what the inspired author is telling us in this verse? When Ruth set out, she doesn't know that Boaz, who was introduced in verse 1, she didn't know which field she was going to or which field was his. Ruth went out to glean in a field after the reapers. She happened to come to the part of the field that belonged to Boaz, who again we're told was from the clan of Elimelech. You see, this does not happen by chance. But during the time of the judges, this meeting was being directed in God's providence and by his sovereign hand. Again, this all takes place during the time of the judges, during the time of the darkness, the sin, the wickedness of all the people of Israel, during the time of the judges, when there is oppression, when there are foreign enemies that are coming and attacking and harassing. You wonder, what is God doing? And here, God is directing Ruth to go to the field of Boaz. In verse 4, beginning at verses 4 through 7, Boaz notices Ruth. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.'" What did the reapers do? A reaper was someone who was hired by the landowner to reap, to harvest the grain. The reaper would normally have a sickle with a short handle. He would cut it with a curved blade to harvest the grain. And now Boaz from Bethlehem comes out to the field, and he speaks to the reapers who are about to begin their work at the beginning of the harvest. And he declares, "The Lord be with you." And they respond, "The Lord bless you." What does that tell us about Boaz? It tells us, it shows us that he is a man of the Lord. He is also blessed of the Lord, and the reapers recognize that about him. In verse 5, Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers reported, "She is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." In other words, she's not of the tribe of the clan of Israel. She is a foreigner, how she's identified. And then the servant tells Boaz what Ruth said in verse 7. Ruth had said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. And so what has Ruth asked for? Just like the law said in Leviticus 23:25, either Naomi shared it with her or she heard it through some other means. At harvest time, the reapers would leave some of the grain for the poor and needy to follow them and to glean and to gather. And that is what Ruth has asked to do, and that is what Ruth is doing. And the young man's description of her is that Ruth is a hard worker. She has done it from early morning with only a short rest. And then we come to the center dialogue. Verse 8, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you?'" You see, Boaz calls Ruth a daughter just as Naomi did. Boaz is already recognizing when he calls her that she's not a foreigner. She is part of the people of Israel. He wants her to glean with the young women that are reaping in his field. And he lets her know that he has charged the young men in his field to leave her alone and not to touch her. And then the end of verse 9 reads, "And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." During the time of the harvest was often a hot and dry work. So Boaz tells Ruth that she doesn't have to go to the well to drink because that would take time, going to the well, drawing the water, and less time for gleaning. But the drawing of the water at the well was often done by women and even foreigners on behalf of the men. And so she might even be, as she went to the well, told to draw water for some of the men there, taking more time. So Boaz tells her she can drink of the water that he has the young men already drawn for his workers, so she can get a drink as she does her work and continue in her gleaning. So you can see how Boaz has not only noticed her, but he is also protecting her and looking out for her. And notice how Ruth responds in verse 10. "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?'" You see, Ruth, in response to what Boaz has expressed and done for her, sees herself as totally undeserving. She identifies herself before him as a foreigner, unworthy of this grace and kindness. She doesn't understand why, as a foreigner, she has found favor in his eyes, and why he has taken notice of her out of all the other gleaners in the field. Verse 11, Boaz answers, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before." You see, Boaz tells Ruth that he has heard about all that Ruth the Moabite has done for her mother-in-law, Naomi the Israelite, since the death of her husband. He knows that Ruth didn't go back to the land of Moab as Naomi's other daughter-in-law did. Ruth clung to her mother-in-law when Naomi told her to go back. Naomi, who didn't have a husband and no more sons and has little hope to marry again and provide a male heir, yet Ruth did not go back to her mother's house, as Naomi had said, in the land of Moab. She didn't go back to her mother's house to seek a Moabite husband who could marry her and care for her and provide an heir. Instead, Boaz had been told how Ruth has lived out what she testified to Naomi in chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth left her father and mother, Boaz says, and continues to see Naomi as her mother. Ruth left her native land of Moab, Boaz says, and went to live in the promised land of Israel and Judah and Bethlehem. He knows how Ruth left her people, the Moabites, and though she did not know the people of Israel in Bethlehem, she now considers God's people of Israel her people now. You see, the wording that Boaz uses in verse 11 lines up with the words that Ruth spoke to Naomi in chapter 1:16 in her beautiful testimony. What Boaz has heard about Ruth is not only her verbal testimony, but how she has lived it out, living out the fruit of her testimony in her life, in her care for Naomi, and in leaving the land of Moab and her people and coming to the people of Israel. She has left behind her past life in Moab and has come to the people of God in Israel. And so Boaz, in verse 12, goes on to pronounce a blessing upon her. Remember how earlier in this chapter, Boaz pronounced a blessing on his reapers? Now he's pronouncing a blessing on Ruth, verse 12. "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." You see, Boaz recognized that God first worked in Ruth's life. God worked in her heart. God has drawn her by his Spirit out of the land of Moab and has brought her into the land of Israel and given her in her heart a desire to serve and show kindness to Naomi and to love God's covenant and God's people. He's heard how God has done this, and he expresses that the Lord's covenant blessing that he promises to give his people would also fall upon her, though she's a Moabite. A full blessing is the wording he uses, a blessing in all its fullness. And what is that blessing of the Lord? Look again at the last part of verse 12. "The God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." You see, Boaz has recognized what God has been doing in Ruth's life. And when he mentions the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, he is using the imagery from Moses' farewell sermon in Deuteronomy 32. In that farewell sermon that Moses proclaimed to the people of Israel as he was about to die and they were about to conquer the promised land, as Moses in his farewell sermon is describing what took place in terms of the Lord and his people in the wilderness, he describes it this way. as an eagle spreading its wings of protection over its young. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out his wings and catching them, bearing them on its pinions. The Lord is pictured like an eagle in the Sermon of Moses. An eagle that over his wings cares for his young and cares for them and leads them and guides them. That's how Moses pictures and describes the care of the Lord in the wilderness for his people as they came to the promised land. And later the psalmist in Psalm 91 would describe the refuge of God's people in a similar way. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 2. I put it on the front of your outlines this morning under point C. The psalmist writes of the Lord, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." You see, Boaz is saying to Ruth, now that she has left behind her family in Moab, now that she has left behind the land of Moab, now that she has left behind the people of Moab, and now that she has come to the people of Israel, Boaz is the one that God has sent to now declare to her that like all of God's people in Israel, she now has taken refuge under the shadow of God's wings of protection. She belongs to the people of God. She now is brought into the covenant people of God. And as God's wings of protection are over his covenant people, God's wings of protection are now over her. And Ruth responds in verse 13, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." Do you see how Ruth sees herself before Boaz and before the Lord? Ruth sees herself as if she is a Moabite and deserves nothing. She sees herself as a foreigner. She describes herself before him as not one of his servants, but an unworthy servant. And she's thankful that she has found favor before his eyes and the Lord's eyes, that Boaz, whom God sent to speak to her, has expressed the Lord's comfort and kindness to her. And then Boaz concludes this dialogue at the center of this chapter, where he has pronounced a covenant blessing that she is now under the wings of the Lord's protection. He concludes that dialogue by giving her food. Verse 14. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. Do you see the significance of what Boaz has done? He is inviting Ruth, the Moabite, and the gleaner to dine with the other reapers, his workers. He invites her to eat some bread and to dip her morsel in some wine. Ruth, the poor Moabite, gleaning widow, seated beside the reapers to eat, and Boaz himself passing to her the roasted grain. Boaz, in this meal, in this fellowship meal, Boaz, in this meal, which he shows her and demonstrates to her that she is brought into the people of Israel, Boaz serves Ruth the Moabite with the roasted grain at the fellowship of his table. And what does it say? Ruth ate until she was satisfied and had some left over. She and Naomi didn't have much. We're not told in our text how much food they had. But we do know that she was out gleaning in the fields because they needed food. And now Boaz, following their dialogue, has given her food till she was satisfied and full with some left over. And then we read in verse 15 that Boaz speaks to the young man again. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her." And that means that Boaz is telling his young men to not have her just glean where the reapers, in their harvesting, accidentally will drop some grain for the poor, but have her glean right where they were working on the sheaves, and not reproach her for it. And then Boaz even goes one step further in verse 16. "And also pull out some of the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." He tells his workers to pull out even some of the grain that's already been bundled up. Pull it out of the bundles and leave it for her to glean, and don't rebuke her like you would rebuke other gleaners who tried to do the same. In verse 17, we read that Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Again, Ruth's work ethic is mentioned. She gleaned in the field, we're told, from early morning in verse 7 until evening, verse 17. Then she beat out what she had gleaned there until there was an ephah of barley, probably enough for several weeks for her and Naomi, all in one day. In verse 18, she took it up and went to the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. Naomi experiences the blessing of Boaz as well. Verse 19, "And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you.' She told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.'" Remember how Boaz was introduced in verse 1? Remember how throughout the chapter, there's Boaz, there's his workers, there's Boaz, a dialogue with Ruth, and now coming to Naomi at the end, Ruth says, "The man I worked with today is Boaz." Verse 20, "Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living and the dead.' Naomi also said to her, 'The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers.'" Do you see what Naomi recognizes from all of this? Naomi, who at the end of chapter 1 wanted to change her name to Mara, which means bitter, because how she saw how the Lord had dealt with her left her bitter. In verse 20, Naomi identifies what Boaz has done and now recognizes it as the kindness of the Lord that has come to her. And when Naomi says that the Lord has not forsaken the living or the dead, it shows that Naomi realizes what this could mean. Her husband and her sons have all died. She is the living. The living and the dead could lose their family inheritance. And the names, Deuteronomy 25, verse 6 tells us, blotted out from the people of Israel. But the Lord, she says, has not forsaken the living and the dead. And how does she know that? The end of verse 20. "This man," she tells Ruth, "is a close relative, a kinsman." And that means he also is one of our, Naomi says, redeemers. Naomi puts those two words together for the first time, words that Ruth would not yet have understood. Boaz is one of those qualified to be a male heir for both her and for Ruth. He is a kinsman, a close relative, qualified to be a redeemer for them in their sadness, having experienced death. Verse 21, Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" Ruth is letting Naomi know that this just was not a one-day thing. But Boaz has offered that she go back until the harvest is over. Verse 22, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." Naomi knows that for a Moabite widow, it was not always safe to be among the young men. He tells her to go out with the young women of Boaz. Verse 23, "So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law." Do you see why the structure shows that the dialogue between Boaz and Ruth at the center is so important? Because everything that happens in this chapter is centered around Ruth meeting Boaz, her kinsman, redeemer, at Bethlehem. Ruth was a Moabite in chapter 1. We read how God's Spirit worked in her heart and brought her to the land of Judah and to the town of Bethlehem. As a foreigner and as a widow in the land of Israel, she recognized that she was an outsider. And even for food, depending on the mercy of others. But God, in his sovereign hand, has vertically interceded in her life and Naomi's life and brought Ruth to the attention of Boaz, and both of them talk with one another. In the dialogue at the center of our text, we learn that Boaz has heard about what God has been doing in Ruth's heart. He has heard about her faith in the God of Israel. He recognizes the transformation that's taken place in her life because she has come to know the God of Israel. How she left the land of Moab for the people of Israel. How she has demonstrated that in her life, in her care from Naomi. And now, on behalf of the Lord God, Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, has showed her the kindness of God, has welcomed her as a Moabite widow among the people of God to take refuge under the shadow of God's protective wings. God is using Boaz at the center of this chapter to let her know that she can now say from her lips the words of all of God's people from Psalm 91. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Ruth the Moabite can now identify and say those words before the Lord. And he has brought Ruth the Moabite to the table fellowship. A table fellowship with Boaz and his reapers. She eats bread and dips her morsel in the wine with them. Boaz serves her the roasted grain and gives her enough food to satisfy her until she is full with some left over. And God provides Boaz to express his mercy and grace. Food for these two widows, Naomi and Ruth. And Naomi recognizes at the end of the chapter what Boaz has done as an expression of the Lord's kindness to her, and identifies Boaz as a potential kinsman redeemer. Do you see why this center where Ruth meets Boaz is so important, not only for Ruth, but that the reversal that takes place in her life and Naomi's life is also the reversal that should take place in the life of every believer? God interceded in Ruth's life through Boaz, an Old Testament type of kinsman redeemer that was still to come. Ruth was a dead Gentile and saw herself as an unworthy servant, but God interceded, having her meet Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, to reverse her situation and give her life. And that the book of Matthew, chapter 1, tells us that God would someday send through the offspring of Boaz and Ruth a greater than Boaz kinsman redeemer who would reverse the dead situations of his people and give Jew and Gentile life. Congregation of our Lord Jesus, do you see yourself and your life in this Old Testament story? Do you see how this centered dialogue is about much more than just Ruth the Moabite who meets Boaz the Israelite? But this centered dialogue is about God's intervention into the entire history of redemption. How during the course of the Book of Judges sermon series, so many of you have said, it seems like the world we live in, full of darkness and sin and chaos, like we lived during the time of the Judges. But you live with the knowledge that one far greater than Boaz has come and has been born at Bethlehem. He was born Son of God, but also as your kinsman, Son of Man. And is your kinsman redeemer who was born at Bethlehem through him? God, has he interceded in your life? For you were once dead in sin and unworthy, like Ruth the Moabite. But by the power of his Spirit, he has given your dead heart life. He has enabled you to know him, to believe in him, to know the salvation that has come to your heart through his word. To know that as your kinsman redeemer, he died on the cross to pay for your sins and rose from the grave and reversed the death situation of his people to life. And like Boaz, who noticed Ruth, the one greater than Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ has noticed you. And when you left your former life and came to the people of God by way of dialogue through the preached and read word, he has brought you into relationship with your kinsman redeemer who has saved you and has delivered you so that in the midst of a dark and sinful world, you take refuge under the shadow of his wings of protection. And what's more, he has given you the sign and seal of the table fellowship he has with you when he serves you the bread and the wine at his table. At the center of our text today is when Ruth meets her kinsman redeemer and the dialogue that takes place that reverses her life from death to life. Your kinsman redeemer was born at Bethlehem. Do you know him? Do you dialogue with him? Do you dine with him? Has he reversed your life and brought you under the shadow of his wings? Is your life empty? Or is your life full of him? The Lord Jesus has come, the one greater than Boaz, the kinsman redeemer that has saved you from sin and death. The words of our last hymn, all my heart this night rejoices as I hear far and near sweetest angel voices. Christ is born, their choirs are singing, till the air everywhere now with joy is ringing. May that be the expression of your joy in the knowledge of our Savior who came to earth and who was born. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for your word and your truth. We're thankful that in this Old Testament passage, we can see our Savior and his salvation work for us foreshadowed. For Lord, we see in this Old Testament passage in the life of Ruth, her kinsman redeemer. But Lord, we see ourselves and the salvation you have given us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For Lord, he is our kinsman, Son of Man. He is our Savior, Son of God. He is our Redeemer as the only valuable enough sacrifice that could pay for the sins of all his people when he died on the cross. We are thankful that in his death and resurrection, he has taken our situation and reversed it from death to life. We are thankful for your Spirit, which has drawn us unto him. We are thankful, Lord, that he noticed us, that he has brought us to know this salvation, that he has expressed it to us in his word, that, Lord, we are now as your people in Christ Jesus, under the shadow of your wings of love and protection forevermore. Father, we pray that as we gather on the Lord's Day for worship with your people, that your people would be our people. Father, we pray that as we gather for worship on the Lord's Day, we would see that this land, the eternal land that this worship service points to, would be where we dwell, where our life is focused in terms of heaven and salvation and eternal life, a taste of it now, longing forever. Father, we pray that your Spirit would bless us with this grace. Fill our lives with the love of our Savior. May we rejoice each day in him. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.